freedom stories brought to you by Refuge Ministries Canada. For the next half hour, your hearts will be filled with hope as you hear real life stories from individuals that have been changed by the power of God. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Refuge Freedom Stories. I'm your host, Johnny T. And today my guest is Jason Perry. Jason has lived over 32 years in the trenches as a Navy SEAL IDC, SWAT officer, executive protection specialist, corporate security expert, a paramedic, and now a pastor. As the founder of Trident Shield, Jason is a distinguished voice in both the Christian community and the realm of security training, emergency preparedness, consulting, and crisis management by blending and integrating real-world experience, biblical principles, faith, and preparedness. Jason, welcome to the show.
It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you here. First and foremost, let me thank you for your service. It is greatly appreciated. Veterans and those who are serving don't hear it often enough. And a lot of times society tends to brush them aside. And I think that's just reprehensible. So thank you for your service. Greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it was my honor. Thank you.
So you have an interesting story. As I was reading through your website, you've done some pretty amazing and exciting things in your life, but I don't believe that your journey of faith was involved in that. At some point in your life, understand that you were an atheist. What really turned that around for you?
Well, I was an atheist for 37 years. Being raised in secular schools, you don't really have a choice if you're not being discipled at home. And my family actually immigrated from Nova Scotia here, first generation American. So my mom just actually moved here this year from Nova Scotia to join us down here. But, you know, for 37 years, I was an enemy of God. Like most atheists, I was angry that there wasn't one, in my opinion. And if he did, it didn't seem that he cared. But again, my grandfather was actually, my testimony starts with my grandfather. My grandfather was abused sexually and otherwise at one of the most notorious orphanages in Newfoundland. They actually did a movie on it called The Boys of St. Vincent's. And so that soured him with a really hard time with Christianity. And that set my family on a very dark path. And I was the first of my family to break the curse of atheism, which I believe is a curse. And, you know, what turned it around for me is I was actually presented a rational, compelling case for creationism through Frank Turek and I think Norman Geisler. I mean, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. That book made its way into my life. And here I was, I thought I was a scientist. I used to chase down Christians and assault them with my logic. And of course, most of them, if not all, didn't know their Bible. So I'd open up, you know, never mind apologetics, right? So I'd open up the Bible and I'd go to Genesis 1:1 and say, so you tell me, you know, how old do you think the earth is? You know, and they would come up with a young earth explanation. And I'd say, okay, look up. See the star up there, that star right there? The light from that star is 10 million years old. And of course, there's an answer for that. The answer is God created the world with some age is one of them, right? But there are various hypotheses on the age of the world and 7 days, literal days, gap theory, all those things. Mm-hmm. And they all could have mentioned those, but they didn't know. So I had a lot of repenting to do for faith that I shook. And all I needed was just someone to present a rational case for Christianity for me to where it could have been possible. And then they did a really good job for that. So in the first third of that book, I went from atheist to agnostic. And then they made a very compelling case for the truth of Christ. And that started me on my journey. Now, I was Christian light for a lot of years, right? A carnal Christian. And then I truly got saved at a program called Operation Restored Warrior, which was a warrior for a program that has a lot of roots in a lot of John Eldredge's work, or Wild for Heart or something like that. But it was a place where I got to meet the true Jesus Christ and got healing, identified my abandonment wounds that I picked up because, again, my parents had me very young. My mom's 16, my dad at 18. Didn't last very long, kind of got passed around the family. And you acquire that abandonment wound, right? We all want someone to fight for us. We all want someone to find us valuable enough to actually contest and fight and defend for us, which of course Christ did, right? Christ actually died for us, right? The ultimate example of that. And then my path led to me, like John Eldredge and others have written, put my first faith in my girlfriend. That didn't work out. Now I go from, you know, wounded to the serial wounder. Now I am the heartbreaker. I'm never going to let anyone touch my heart again. And did all that and did a lot of damage throughout my life, even as a SEAL. You know, I became a SEAL because I became a thug in my life until I was about 20. And then I'm sitting there in bed, you know, after partying all night and doing drugs, whatever. And I remember staring up at a ceiling fan at 10:30 in the morning. My nose hurts. You know, I can't believe I paid as much money as I did to feel the way I did. And I'm like, what happened to me? I wanted to be something something big, and that, and my life got off track and went down this hole of darkness and anger and everything else. And so I went and enlisted in the military to become a Navy SEAL because I believed in America. You know, this was before America completely lost her mind. And I was raised in Boston, Massachusetts, where there was Paul Revere's ride. There was the USS Constitution. There's Bunker Hill. There's all this history. John Adams, John Quincy Adams, everything's there. Freedom Trail, everything. And pilgrims, right? Like everything is there. I wish I was the Christian I am now because of the rich Puritan heritage that was there that I would have really dug into. So I went in to try to redeem myself through service to country. And I also did that because I knew my SEAL buddies would never abandon me, right? I'm like, oh, here is a group of guys that will never abandon me. But all men betray. All men are broken. But throughout my life, I call them breadcrumbs now as a pastor. God placed people in my life that were breadcrumbs leading me home, little beacons of light that were pointing me to him. And I always just would notice there was a couple SEALs that I knew out of all of them, and they were the most calm, peaceful, joyful people I knew, right? The rest of us were trying to fill this hole. You know, we're born an empty vessel, and either you're going to pour the world into it, or you're going to, the Holy Spirit's going to fill it. So the rest of us were chasing women and booze and adrenaline and camaraderie. And these guys had none of that, man. They just had such a peace. So I would always make fun of them. Of course, that's the SEAL way. But I started having conversations with one of them, and one of them was pretty instrumental in leading me to Christ.
It's an amazing thing how God creates each one of us uniquely and how he aligns things in our life. There are no coincidences when God is drawing us. He puts those breadcrumbs. He brings those right people that have the right message, the right argument, as you said, the right intellectual discussion, whatever it may be that we need. God knows that ahead of time because he created us. And he wants to infuse us with those things that will help us fulfill his purpose for our life.
100%. And I'm a Calvinist, so there really are no coincidences, you know?
Well, I agree 100%. There's no coincidences. That's for sure. You live long enough in the Lord and you've come to realize that pretty quick.
Yeah. So from there, I did get saved. You know, I lost my little brother to heroin on my last deployment or around there. And I went to his funeral and all of his friends weren't there because they were already all dead. Lost to heroin. It was the kickoff to the opioid epidemic that is now 120,000 people in the U.S. And so out at 16 years, which no one does, right? Because you're so close to retirement. But it was never about the money to me. It was always about the mission. And I became a Boston police officer, joined the war on drugs, got on the SWAT team, did that. And even though I'm a Christian, this is like my Christian light years, carnal Christian. I just need to clean my slate before I take my last breath, right? I knew enough to be dangerous, basically, right?
Right, right.
And then my son was born, Connor, who has autism, and that completely shook my faith, completely demolished me. I watched all my other friends' kids going out and having normal father experiences, and I never wanted kids in the first place. Me and my now ex-wife were really good while I was in the SEAL teams because we saw each other maybe 3 months a year. The idea of one another was really great, but once we got around each other permanently, not so much, right? And we were both, you know, not great Christians, let's just say that. And so my son comes into Christ. We end up having him as a way to fix our relationship. Yeah, right. But it just destroyed me. And I'm a pretty good communicator. I mentor very well. And here was a son that I could barely communicate with that I was having a really hard time mentoring, couldn't connect with. So walked away from my career in the SWAT team, which was a dream job, to help take care of my son. So we moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, where the Virginia Institute of Autism was. And where family and friends were to kind of slow life down, throw more at the autism. I got a job bodyguarding one of the richest men in the world. He was worth $52 billion at that time. I think he's worth $104 billion now. And was treated very well, but I was still out of town 180 days out of the year. I was doing 30 days on, 30 days off, treated really well. Like, got to see what security looks like and how the 0.0001% was right. But then Sandy Hook happened. An autistic boy walked in and became a monster and killed a bunch of first and second graders and teachers. So I walked away from that job and started my own company called Trident Shield, which is an active shooter and emergency preparedness training and security company. And I've been doing that for 13 years. Did that till COVID hit. Was going gangbusters. I actually got saved in there and, you know, and all that stuff. Met my current wife and all that and got her saved. She was a diehard atheist. Great testimony. But the whole time I was teaching my active shooter, I was known as the person who could go to Berkeley, California and teach very challenging content to people who make it a full-time job to be offended and be able to train them and then go to El Paso, Texas with cowboys who can't be offended and have a good time with both of them and be able to teach the same content in very different ways. But I felt like a phony when I was in Berkeley doing that because I knew if they knew I was a Christian, right? I knew if they knew who I was, because now I'm really saved. You know, I go to RW, I get really saved. Now all I want to do is talk about Jesus. Now all I want to do is serve that. My first mission after I truly got saved in RW was get my wife saved. So I convened a small group in my house with all my married Christian friends, small group with a mission to get her saved. And we got her saved a year later. And so it was a really big problem. After we got saved, here I am. I'm not your typical Christian. I mean, I'm a broken person, but back together. But with the seal and the cop and everything else inside of me, going church shopping. And where I'm at, all the churches were very, let's say, liberal. And was very seeker friendly. They were all concert churches. And I did the wrong thing. I'm like, well, you know, who's got the best show? I'm going to go there. Right. And it was like going to a country concert or a light rock concert, you know, and there was a funny pastor, whatever. But I know guys are putting guns in their mouth every trying to find reasons not to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find a pastor for the life of me that I wanted to be like. They were all soft, sweater vests wearing, no calluses, no scars, no life experience, permanent college students. And I felt like a great white shark swimming with a bunch of guppies. So, you know, I went church shopping for so long. And then finally I found a guy called Ken Graves up in Bangor, Maine. Ken Graves is a Calvary Chapel guy. And we ended up dropping everything and moving up there. You know, God helped us out there and got to make friends with Ken and like 6 months at his feet, like working out with him in the morning and just taking in everything I could. I wanted to stay there with everything I had. You know, this was my spiritual father. Yeah. Like everything I ever wanted. This guy has a voice like Thor. He's covered in calluses and scars. Not a veteran, not a cop, but a lumberjack, but still a manly man. And he was the first pastor I've ever seen. And this is going to speak volumes. Who actually walked the talk. Like his family had it together. They took on his identity. The police, when they had a troubled kid, brought it to Ken's house because he ran a one-year residential discipleship program called a CRD. And so now he is doing what the church should be. He's discipling and he's training men how to be men. He's instilling work ethic and all these other things in them. And he's really fathering this entire town, everyone who comes up there. And it was just so impactful. And we had this amazing house in Virginia that we were trying to sell. And it should have sold in a week. 6 months later, nothing. Right. So I'm just like, God, please, this is where I want to be. You know, we kept putting offers with our house contingent to sale. And BlackRock was coming in offering cash. Right? This is the height of the pandemic, right? So now it's right before the election. We go home, we're licking our wounds, and it doesn't sell. We're paying a mortgage and we're paying rent. So we ran out of money. And we come back to Virginia, and I'm like, God, I thought this is what you wanted from me. And it just appeared to me, Jason, Maine doesn't need you. They have Ken Graves, right? God took away all peace for me to stay in Virginia, and I ended up in Tennessee. And a lot of miraculous things. I came down here with the intent to start a men's ministry to teach men how to be men again. Because my philosophy is you fix the men, you fix the families. You fix the families, you fix the church. Fix the church, you fix the community, the city, state, country, and then the world, right? Mm-hmm. It starts with the men. I came here and I did my first event called a forging, 3-day event. Come in, it's about learning how to fight, how to shoot. That's the draw. That's the candy. It's all about learning how to disciple, right? So you come in, you work out, you learn how to do these things. Everyone comes for that and they leave talking about the God part, right? God part's where it changes them 100%. And the first time I did that, I had half women show up. And I'm like, what am I don't know anything about women's ministry, man. What am I going to do? So, but they needed the same things, man.
Absolutely.
A lot of them were tired of learning how to bake. And some of them were the only disciples in their family. There was no man. So they need to embrace that role until a man took it from them, right? And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm in Tennessee. There's going to be fire-breathing pastors on every corner down here. You know, I'm like, where's the most hardcore guy? And it just wasn't that way. So I ended up starting my own church. Christian Warrior Mission here in Johnson, Tennessee, City, Tennessee. I've converted my two-car garage into the sanctuary and studio and everything else. We do services here and up on the mountaintop where we have 360-degree views. We do discipling here on the property with our farm. We've got 44 acres, and we got cows and hogs and chickens. It's real easy to pretend to be somebody for Sunday for 90 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out back and you're cold and wet around big, dangerous animals, you kind of find out who people are.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're hot and sweaty and roasting around big and dangerous animals. You get to see who is what. And that's kind of our field. We live for everyone. And you mentioned veterans. Mm-hmm. My heart is for the veterans. Like, you know, yes, I lost my brother to drugs and lost family members to drugs and all that stuff. But they all made a choice, and I understand that, and I wish it wasn't the case. My heart is for the people who are broken, doing the greatest love there is, you know, laying down their lives or trying to lay down their lives for their friends, but not only just their friends, but the people who they don't know and people who even hate them, right? Which is no greater love, according to our Lord and Savior. So I'm like, there's got to be a place for guys like that, because if I feel this way, I can't be the only one. So I do that, and I do a podcast / show. I don't even know what the definition of a podcast. I use TV. So I do it video and audio. And we have a huge following of veterans and first responders. But our church is for veterans, first responders, and patriots. Now, I'm not exclusionary. Anyone can come. But are
you Canadians?
Canadians, yeah. we can reform Canadians. Don't you worry.
need help, brother. We need help.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, we got my mom here, right? And she's an amazing testimony herself. We got her down here. We were estranged for a long time. Got her down here. Got her saved. Got her baptized. She left Canada, came here in record time. Got her off of fentanyl, which she was on for 10 years. Prescription drugs that she was on for 35 years. Got her off her all medication. And now she is clean, 100% on fire for the Lord here.
Praise God.
And you know, only Jesus could do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a tremendous and timely work that you're doing. We see this darkness trying to creep in, and we know why, because the Lord's coming back soon. So the darkness is just trying to take over everything that it can and just wipe people off the earth as quickly as he can do before they get saved. So thank God for that vision. It made me think when you said you came down to Tennessee and you're looking for that fire-breathing preacher. And I thought to myself, well, you just look in the mirror and there he is.
Yeah. Well, I had no intention to be a preacher. You know, I'm not seminary educated, but neither was Ken. Ken was self-educated and Holy Spirit educated and found I was having far better discernment than a lot of the guys that I was listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, God gives us a lot of those things we learn. We learn through our experience with growing in him and through the experience of the Holy Spirit. And people said the disciples, who were they? Well, they were fishermen. And
complete knuckleheads till Jesus came back from the dead. But yeah.
That's right. It's been just incredible to hear about the work that you're doing there. And so if somebody wants to find out more about your ministry there, where would they go? Where would they find the information?
You can find me on Pastor Seal Cop on Twitter or Christian Warrior Mission on all social media platforms and ChristianWarriorMission.org. For our website. And, you know, I do a podcast, like I said, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we fight three battles during that time. It's a fellowship podcast, and we fight three battles. We fight to get a humble and grateful heart aligned onto the Lord. We fight to deliberately pursue our Lord and Savior through the studying of Scripture, one chapter at a time, and through prayer. And then we spend time in fellowship with Iron Sharpening Iron and corporate prayer and discussions and, you know, topicals and, you know, how to apply what's going on in our life, the Bible, what's going on in all our lives.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. One last question for you.
Sure.
What's the one thing you would tell people about God?
Whew, man, that's a tough one. You know, everyone would always say that, you know, God is love and say, yes, God is love, but God is holy, holy, holy. So that means he is holy times holy times holy, right? So that's set apart by set apart by set apart. And he doesn't care what kind of religion you want. Jesus needs to be your Lord and your Savior. Too many people want Jesus, bro, right? They want Jesus the Savior. They don't want Jesus the Lord, right? Well, it doesn't work that way. He's either your Lord and Savior or you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute blast talking to you. And God bless all that you do and for the work that people are going to hear about as your tent continues to expand in that ministry.
Well, I appreciate you, man. And it's just such a warm conversation to have you here, you know, and I wish you nothing but the best and God bless you for what you do.
Amen. Appreciate that. God bless.
For the 6 o'clock news. Today, June 25th, 1962, the Supreme Court has ruled that school prayer and Bible reading will cease in all public school systems. It is now official. God has been removed from the classroom in the United States of America.
Arise.
I hope that you have enjoyed the last half hour as much as I did. Thank you again to Refuge Ministries Canada for hosting the show. So until next Friday, may God richly bless you with peace, love, and happiness.
We at Refuge Ministries are so blessed by the success of Refuge Freedom Stories and podcasts. In addition, we focus on youth prison ministry, release kits, and many other diverse outreaches to the needs of our community. As a nonprofit, there are many costs involved, however, and we are asking for your support. Financial gifts can be made via our website at www.refugeministriescanada.com or by calling 519-701-0108. Your giving makes this work possible, and we thank you in advance for your support. That's 519-701-0108. God bless you.